Amen. That's good stuff. Thank you, ladies, very, very much. Very, very much. Take your Bibles and turn to February. I see you try that one, huh? Right next to Hezekiah. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. I saw February is 27, then it's Deuteronomy 28, and all of a sudden I put the February and the 28 together. You know how that's the last, anyway, man, sorry about that. Deuteronomy 28. That was good, girls. Aren't you glad that God takes, it seems too good to be true. Yeah. It really is, except that nothing is impossible with God, even a love that goes beyond what we deserve and far beyond what we deserve. We are taking some time here. We're going through a series of messages that I've entitled Choose Life. I think a lot of people think they're living. I think there's a lot of people in America that think this is the life. And then when everything goes haywire, they what was this? What was that? And there's a lot of things going on that I believe that people are living under the curse in certain aspects and areas of their life, and they don't even realize it. And I know we started this last week, and I'm going to kind of continue on with that this week. And I'm not going to get done this week either. But you say, well, why are we going through all these little details? Because I think we think, well, I'm okay. I'm all right. But I think there's many different aspects of life where this old curse comes in and messes things up. And we don't realize it. And here's the crazy thing. We don't realize that we could avoid most of it. There are families or people who have lived for generations, and people have just set God aside, and oh, they might use him for a swear word, or you know, use his name in vain, or show up in church on Easter or Sunday on the Christmas or something. But they're not really living according to the design that God has given us to put us under the place and under the spout where the blessings come out. And so living out here all by themselves, left to the curse. And so I'm trying to get our attention here to realize all these different areas where we could be avoiding the curse in our life. I want to read one verse again. Well, actually, two or three verses. Deuteronomy 28:15. We were there last week. Let me read a couple of those and get us started once more. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 15. He says, but it shall come to pass. Let me just stop right there. He didn't say this sometimes this happens, sometimes, no. He says, you were going to be affected by the curse. If. He said, this shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So are you listening to the Lord? Now, I remember sometimes when my dad said, if you listen to him, you'll stay out of trouble. And what he really meant was, he's going to cause me trouble if I don't listen to him. And really, God is saying the same thing. He says, it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto my voice. You're not going to listen to me. And you know why we don't listen to him? Because we don't think it's worth listening to. If we really believed that God was somebody worth listening to, I think we'd listen. It's amazing the people we listen to. We listen to somebody because they have money. We listen to somebody because they have power, authority. It's funny. We listen to somebody because they're good looking. I mean, they may be dumb as dirt, but they're good looking, so they must know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing what we'll listen to. And somehow, God has put his word down in black and white. And for some reason, we won't listen to him. He says, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. In other words, there's a purpose for listening. Who haven't heard for years. Who was that old investment advisor, when so E.F. Hutton, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Remember that? When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When God talks, people ought to listen. You know what? He even knows more than E.F. Hutton. In fact, he knows better how to invest your money than E.F. Hutton. He says, now I want you to hearken to the voice of the Lord of God. Why? To observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Why? That all these curses that he's about to tell us about, that all these curses shall come upon thee. He said, it shall come to pass, these curses shall come upon thee, if you don't listen to the Lord to do what he's, and ask for the sake of doing what he's due. He says, they shall come upon thee. Watch. They're going to, when it says they're going to show up, they're going to show up in life. Years ago, Janet and I were going to a Christmas dinner up over at Hickory Bridge Farm. Our church down in Maryland was having their dinner. We came up there to have dinner, and it was nighttime. It was dark, and we had a Ford Aerostar minivan, and we were going up the road there, and this is the craziest thing. And actually, we had been up there for the dinner. We were on the way home, and we're going on the way home, and all of a sudden, I looked out the side. The light was kind of shining there. Here's this deer, running right next to me. It's like he was having a race with me. It was the dumbest. I mean, here he goes. And it was the craziest thing. And all of a sudden, he just looked at me and he goes, boom. And it hits the side of my car. Well, it wasn't bad, but I didn't hit him in the front or anything, but he kind of hit the side of the car. But he went on. I thought, well, all right, it's fine. Well, I don't even remember those Aerostars. I mean, they had like no shape, you know. I mean, they were just kind of flat. And so the panel was kind of flat. And so the deer ended up pushing in the panel. Now, I was young. I didn't think about that because I know some people right now are already figuring for the, already have the remedy in your mind. But it pushed this thing out. And I ran around. I didn't have any money. And I ran around. That's just the door panel on my side of my door there, all pushed in for a year. Now you're not going to believe this. Now I'm telling you the truth. I'm not preaching right now. I'm telling you the truth. A year later, I was going down to my mother's, and we were on the way down. And all of a sudden, so help me, on the road. And all of a sudden, I looked over, and there was another deer. And he hit the side of my car again and popped it out. So help me. Honest. He came upon me. I was just minding my own business. I was just doing my thing, trying to be a good little boy, and he comes along and pops me. He says, these curses shall come upon you. I wasn't trying to do anything really wrong. No, but you weren't on purpose listening to the Word of God to observe to do it. So you weren't doing the things he has to do. You cannot stay out of the curse by simply being neutral. Neutral is being under the curse that came in Genesis 3. God cursed the world because of sin, and from now on, the world is cursed. Now, I can help you through the curses, and I can help you kind of overcome the curses, but you're going to have to do what I ask you to do, and I'll bless you. I'll supersede the curse on your behalf. But if you're not looking for him to supersede the curse on your behalf, then you're on your own. You're on your own. Now, I like this, though. I'm getting ahead of myself, but a little further on, it says, now, if you do what the Lord asks you to do. He says the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Well, that's the second time. Boom, they knocked the bump out. God says, I can fix this for you. I can fix this for you if you let me. So he says, all these curses shall come upon you. Watch, look at it, it says, and overtake you. That means you can't outrun them. So people, I'll do what I want, but you know, if I can finagle and it won't hurt me. I'll be okay. I can get around this. It shall come to pass that they will overtake you. They're going to come upon you and they're going to overtake you. Why? Look at verse 20. because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. What's the wicked thing I did? I just forsook God. Well, I didn't tell him I didn't want him. No, but you didn't tell him you did. You didn't go looking for him. You want to hear the word of God. This book will also not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. It didn't say, if you don't do anything really crazy, all the blessings of God's going to be on you. No, the default is not the blessings. The default is the curse. Let's pray. And I got some things I want to cover with you here this morning. And we're talking about being overtaken by the curse, part two. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, help me to be a blessing. Lord, help us just to have some common sense here and see these things for what they are and use this time. Lord, I want our folks to be living above the curse. I don't want them living under the circumstances. I want them living above the circumstances. We're all trapped in this old sin-cursed world, but we don't have to live here and be miserable with it. We can have that joy. Our sins can be all gone, and you can be walking with us, and we can be living on a mountain underneath the cloudless sky, feasting on the manna and the living word. Problems are going to come, but they don't have to overtake us. We have an overcomer in Jesus Christ. May we live under the blessings, not under the curse. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Remember, the curse is not that God zaps some kind of voodoo on us. He doesn't put a whammy on us, doesn't zap us. The curse is simply the curse that mankind caused in the Garden of Eden. And now he says there's going to be thorns, there's going to be thistles, there's going to be problems, there's going to be sin. There's a sin for by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all got it from Adam. We all have it. It's part of the life. And that sin there's that curse. We may have walked away from the Lord. We may have run away from the Lord. And the Lord but the Lord is not going to make us stay. He's going to let us go. And when God lets us go, it's kind of a way of his kind of not really disowning us as much as saying, I'm no longer supporting you. I'm no longer encouraging this thing here. I'm not going to enable you. I'm going to leave you alone because you want to be left alone. Could turn you over to the world. And by the way, the world is destructive. Just like the prodigal son. He didn't stop him. He went out there and his life was destroyed. But don't forget the end of the story. The father was waiting with open arms for him to come back. So I don't know where you are in all this, but God's waiting for with open arms for you to come back. The curse is simply God allowing us to be vulnerable to the great curse that's already enacted upon this world. Because that is what we have chosen. We can overcome. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we want to stay overcoming, stay with the overcomer. Now, a few weeks ago, we realized that this curse, because of the way this curse works, it brings contention into our lives. It brings sorrow and pain. It brings conflict. It brings problems and difficulties. Sometimes it makes you wonder if it's really worth living. It removes us from the Lord's blessings. And you know, sometimes we get down, and the curse is just beating us up. And you know what we'll do? Instead of turning to the Lord and seeking his face and trying to get a hold of him so that we can get out from underneath the curse, we will turn right around and sin some more. We'll get drunk to forget our problems. We go out and do drugs. We go out and do something stupid. We go out and do something crazy. And then, you know what happened? That sin brings on a compound of the curse. Makes it even worse. Instead of moving toward the answer to get us out from underneath the curse and underneath the blessings, we'll just go further and further into the curse. We also found that we cannot escape the curse. The way of transgressors is hard. It will overtake thee. It shall overtake thee. Now, last week, we began to get a little more specific about some things and recognize the curse in our lives when we see it. And I believe many folks have lived their life under the curse for generations and they just figure that this is the way normal life is going to be. granddaddy lived like that, and they just can't seem to get out of it. Dad, their mom and dad lived like this, and we can't, they can't have, we are living like this, we can't live in this. Our kids are going to have to do this too. You do not, someplace they can, it can stop, because it's very easy to understand and realize our job is simply obey the Lord. These things are not that difficult. Life does not have to be as hard and difficult as many experience. Many of our issues are actually part of the curse, and thus if we can get ourselves in position that the curse has little effect on us, then we will not be affected as much by these issues. We will overcome the issues. How intrusive this curse is in my personal life depends on how much I allow it to lead me. How far can it reach into my personal life? Well, last week we talked about the fact that curse is not determined by location. You can't run from it. He said, cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. Whether you're here in the city where you're supposed to have some kind of protection or out in the field in the wild, makes no difference. You're under the curse. You're not going to run away from the curse. Secondly, we found out the curse affects our personal welfare. It said, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Sometimes we just don't have enough money to go around. You don't understand why we work and we work and we work, we still don't have enough money to go around. Because we don't have God's blessing, we're living underneath the curse. The problems are there. God's not superseding the curse. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. You know what? It has to do with the curse affects our children. It affects our family. And the more we allow our family to be in the world, the more it's amongst the curse, the more it's going to be affected by the curse. And by the way, I can't teach them to do right in the flesh. That's part of the curse. I've got to do it in the spirit because that's where their life is. The curse is going to affect, it says, cursed shall be the fruit of the land and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. And from that, in that particular context, they're saying this, we're just not as productive as we could have been. I don't know how these guys get ahead like they do. Well, they're not fighting the curse on their own. God's fighting the curse for them. You know, when the Bible says, blessed is the man that, do you know what that word blessed really means? Oftentimes, the word blessed simply means smooth sailing. That's what it means. It means smooth sailing. It means he makes it straight. He makes it level. What does that mean? That in the midst of the curse, God's out there running interference. He's knocking this out. We don't know it, but for some reason, we're just... Life is going well. You say, well, I saw this problem coming down here. I've been praying about it. Well, you know, well, don't worry about that down there. The word is a lamp unto their feet, a light unto their path. Kids keep doing what you're supposed to do today. And by the time you get there, it probably won't be there. Because God will have already played interference and knocked it out. But listen, don't expect it to play interference unless you're on the team. On the same team. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And remember, that had to deal with army and military. But basically means how do you maneuver this and maneuver that? How do you know how to make the right decisions? How do you know when to do this, when to do that? And it just seems like life is just so confusing. God says, I'll help you not to be so confused. He says, you won't be so confused. You'll be able to do it. So then he kind of says, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. Verse 20. No matter what we do, there are some people who are so far into the curse. Now there's different levels of it, but some people are so far into the curse and so overwhelmed by the curse, it's just like nothing they do works. Ever met somebody like that? Nothing works. And you know what 99.9% of the time they'll tell me? I'll just try harder. I appreciate the effort. That's good. The problem is not for you to try harder to overcome the curse. The point is for you to try hard to know the word of God and obey it and give the problem to the Lord and let him take care of the curse. He says, I'll let it come unto you until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. He said, why am I going to be destroyed? Because you're living in the curse. And the overcomer of the curse is over there someplace, and you're not going to get under his blessing. You want to live out, you say, well, I'll do it on my own. You're not going to. Oh, you may have some good days. But the curse, it shall come to pass, that the curse shall come upon thee and overtake thee. One of these days is still going to get the best of you. Now, today I want to show you a few things here about a national curse. Of course, a nation is made of people. So these are things that are happening to people. The more people it happens to, the more impact it has on the nation as a whole. Okay? Now I'm going to give you one principle here first before we do that. I want to show you the principle of overcoming the curse. Now, the soul, the Bible says in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, in that context, it's basically saying the fathers will not be held accountable for the sins of the children, and the children are not going to be held accountable for the sins of the father. That basic principle is telling us this: though the whole nation may be under the curse, I don't have to be greatly affected by the curse as everybody else just because of the crowd. Elijah was everything. The drought came, and it didn't rain for 3 years, and the whole area was under the curse. But God still took care of Elijah. Now, granted, he ate after the ravens. I'm not talking about the Cowboys or the Indians or the Steelers. They're ravens, and come on, now that wasn't that bad. He ate. The birds came and gave him food to eat, and of course, he drank by the brook. It's not the greatest thing, but God took care of him. And when that dried up, he went to see this widow lady, and she took care of him until the time came. Well, everybody else was still trying out to scratch out a living. So God takes care of us. And so the fact is, I think that the amount of the curse on us kind of depends on how much we are personally willing to follow God's plan here. We are responsible for ourselves. We are under the curse of Adam, and we will all die physically eventually, and the curse will eventually get us, by the way. We're still living in an old sin cursed world. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die, after this, the judgment. The curse is eventually going to kill this body. But watch. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, but death is swallowed up in victory. So in other words, death is going to die. The separation. See, death is separation from God, right? Separation from God. And so God says, I'm going to separate you from the separation. Death is going to die. I'm going to double separate you there. Separate you from the separation. You don't have to be part of the separation. I'll let you just stay with him because death is going to die. What? Because I have decided he is my answer to the curse. So separation-wise, I can have life because I have received him as my Savior. Now, in Psalm 90, it says this: the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know that passage. Eventually, this old body is going to succumb to the curse. It's going to be gone, and I'm going to be glad about it. We'll have a new glorified body. But the fact is, you know, we sometimes he says, well, you know, well, they died too soon. Well, he's not saying you're going to get exactly 70 years, or he's not saying that. He's saying around 70 someplace, that's what it should be, all things considered. But the fact is, there's other elements that play into it that may, you know, hurry up our physical death, or maybe we've got good genes and we're going to last a long time. Some people that last a long time, I don't know why God lets them, you know, last so long. You know, some guys and some people say, why does the good die young? You know, we think about all those things, but in general, the curse is eventually going to get us, sometimes longer, some a little bit less. It's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Now watch. I can hold back the curse that kills me physically by living right. Right? Eat right, protect my body, exercise my body, don't do a bunch of foolish, risky things. Chances are I'll live a longer life. All right? I think the Bible kind of teaches if you listen to your parents, you'll probably live longer. Okay? One is, I think the Lord blesses. Two is, you won't do so many stupid things. But so I can hold back the curse a little bit physically by living right. But watch, I can hold back the curse spiritually from destroying my soul and destroying my life by living righteously. I will probably not stop the curse completely from interfering in my life. However, I can limit the curse's effects on my life significantly by living righteously according to the bread of life. Every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, the life of the transgressor is hard. Well, that means that if I'm not transgressing, maybe it'll be a little easier, right? Now, we're still under the curse. So all I'm saying is, listen, your life is not going to be perfect just because you do all this. But I'll tell you what, you can eliminate a lot of the curse effect on your life if we just do it the way God wants us to do it. And besides, sometimes when we mess up, it's amazing how he bails us out. It really is. So let me give you a couple things. Look at verse number 21. When a nation is cursed, there are nationwide health issues that arise, and we won't be protected from them. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The word pestilence means a destroying plague, a disease. He says he shall make the pestilence, the disease, cleave. And that word is the same word you're supposed to cleave. Your husband and wife are supposed to cleave on another, stick like glue. He says it's like you can't get rid of this thing. Just like it just keeps hanging on. He says it's right, it's just there. You know, it's stuck to your clothes and stuck to your hands and stuck to your face mask. He says it's going to stick to you. We just can't seem to shake it. A constant nagging issue. Apparently they don't have to stick to us. He's saying that they're going to stick to us because of the issue. Apparently they don't have to stick to us. Watch, until he have consumed thee from off the land. He says, if you're not listening, don't pay attention, don't get this thing straight. It'll just stay there until he just kind of wipes us out little by little. We're supposed to be in the promised land possessing the good life. But he says, you're not going to enjoy your life, because I'm going to send a disease through your land that's going to make life miserable. The life of blessing was ours to have, but we just aren't able to enjoy it for long. The Lord will allow our physical welfare to be vulnerable to all the world, and all the world can throw against us. Sound familiar? Verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with consumption and with a fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning. Consumption means emaciated, just wasting away till things shut down. And then he says, with a fever. That means an infection that causes fever. Okay, well, you know, you get a fever once in a while. You think, well, I'm not sure what that is, but I was better the next morning. I guess we're okay. Okay, but we didn't pay any attention to that. Then it says an inflammation. That means a burning fever, the kind of fever that does more damage than it does good. You know how they say, "Oh, we got to get his fever's getting high. We have to get it down before it does some damage." And then it says an extreme burning. That's a fever that goes into hallucinations and seizures, and really does. You know, you remember there used to be what was it? Let me just come right through my brain. There was a fever used to go through. It would cause heart trouble. Rheumatic fever. You know? And you don't hear much about that anymore, but this rheumatic fever, not romantic, but rheumatic fever. I had that for my wife. That was a rheumatic fever. But it actually caused a damage. He says, I'll send these things through. Watch this. He says, and with the sword. In other words, not only are we not going to enjoy life because of disease, but he says we're not going to enjoy life because of injury. Now, if you look at this, it really kind of means it could be a physical ailment. It could be a disease. If they're not destroying our life, then the fact is we're going to have physical injury. It might be from an enemy from the outside, or it may be from within us. And he said, we don't get this straightened out. He said, this curse is going to make it so you won't be able to walk downtown without having to watch for your life. You're not going to want to get stopped at a stoplight because you're afraid somebody's going to carjack you, stick a gun in the side of your head. We're going to have families who get mad because somebody got a bigger piece of cake and they shoot each other. And they do stuff, crazy stuff like that. He says that's what the curse brings on. It compounds and it gets worse and it gets worse. And the heartache and the pain and the sorrow, all God to observe, to do what it says. Let me move on. I've got to move fast. Give you another category. The earth itself will appear to be against us. The earth itself will appear to be against us. So he says, the Lord will smite thee with consumption, as all the disease, and with the sword. And then it says here, and with blasting. Same verse. And with blasting. And with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. The word blasting means a scorching dry heat. It will dehydrate the land, dehydrate us. It will burn us. This scorching, blasting heat. You know, you've seen it where the ground gets so dry that it kind of cracks open. You know? And then it says, and with mildew. That's where you got so much water coming, you just can't see. You know, your feet are starting, your toes are starting to web up. Been wet for so long. You know, watch it. You plant tomatoes, and it dries up. And you got these scrawny little plants. You're cutting all the suckers off, you know, but you got these awful scrawny little plants. And then a little tiny tomato comes out, and then it starts to rain. And it rains. And it rains. And that doggone thing will plump up and split. You know what I'm talking about? And then it kind of gets a mold on the bottom of it. And so by the time you're ready to pick it, it's green. And then by the time it's got some color, most of it's gone. That's exactly what he's saying. That's because of the curse. You say, but you're telling me I haven't been able to grow tomatoes because I'm not right with God? Well, maybe. Or maybe the fact is, watch, when the Lord puts a people under the curse, the weather kind of falls on everybody. And so we're living. Maybe God's kind of get your attention to say, well, maybe you ought to go out there to go soul winning and giving some folks to the Lord around this area. Listen. We'll say, well, yeah, but it's everywhere. Listen, come on. You know, it's funny how we can play with the stats here. Haven't you? Listen, there's been times when I've been at the church here, and the rain comes down, it's, and by the time I get home at 4 miles away, the road's dry. Didn't rain down there at all. You know what it means? He can make it rain wherever he wants to make it rain. And he can make it dry anywhere he wants to, any place he wants to make it dry. You ever been driving out in the Midwest? You're driving along and you can see the storm coming. You're driving on dry road and you can see it. And all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, there's a line where all of a sudden there's the rain. Amazing. That means God can make it rain any place he wants to make it rain. And if he wants to give you the rain at the right time and stop at the right time, he can do that. I think we think he can't. And he watched, he says, and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. All these things he's talked about so far, he says, these things are going to come at you. And if he doesn't get our attention, we don't get turned around, we don't repent, he says, it'll break, it'll eventually we'll perish. Are you tired of living under the curse yet? Hang on. The natural cycles of weather will be disrupted. The normal processes will be out of sync. Does this sound familiar?
Well, this is the biggest snowstorm we've ever had this time of year.
Well, we've never had tornadoes this time of year. Well, it's really strange. We're having thunderstorms during the... to be honest with you, I guess they did it before. It was a few years ago when I remember the first time I really realized they're having a thunderstorm during a snowstorm. I don't remember that when I was growing up. Maybe you do. Do you all remember that, buddy? Thunderstorms when you were a kid? Okay. You must have been under the curse over there. I don't remember that. I'm sorry. No, I just don't remember it. It seems like it happens. All these crazy things happen all the time now. Well, what do you expect? Well, this is just the way life is. You're right. It's just the way life is when we're under the curse, and the curse is affecting us. What I'm saying is we could avoid most of this if we decided to choose life and blessing rather than death and cursing. He said, well, look at verse 23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. In other words, the Lord can do anything. Like, for instance, the plague in Egypt, remember? He cursed Egypt, and the plague didn't go to Goshen. Remember that? Most likely, you know, there's an area, there's an issue that relatively few, a few good people are not being affected by it. Elijah in the drought, we talked about that. It says, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven. It shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Anything we're going to get out of the sky, not the rain, but dust storm. See, we come to a place where we can't count on the seasons to be regular. You got extreme weather and earth conditions. Climate change is because of man, but not because of fossil fuels so much, but because the Lord is allowing the earth to run amok and is not controlling it for us, because in him all things consist. But if we get rid of the Lord, then we get rid of the one who's holding all everything together. He's no longer running interference for us. We won't know when to plant or harvest because the normal sequence of seasons will be all out of whack. Let me give you another one. We will be weak before our enemies militarily. Verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and look real tough and think you got this in the bag, and flee seven ways, scatter before them, and shall be removed into the kingdom of the earth. We end up running like a bunch of cowards who have no idea what we're doing. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. When the Israelites went into the promised land, first battle was Jericho. They did exactly what the Lord told them to do, and they took down this fortified city simply by doing something as crazy as walking around the city every day for 7 days. And the last day shouting and blowing the horn, and God brought the walls down just like he said he would. Next week, where they went, they go down the little ways, the Ai, little tiny town. They said, we don't even need everybody. This will be fine. But they had done some things that they shouldn't have done. They had one Babylonian garment, a little bit of gold. It's no big deal. And they didn't really ask God how they ought to go. They just did it. They go, we got this under the bag. Oh, we're good. And they were smitten, and people died. One, they did what God said to do. Next one, they didn't. So, well, they didn't really say, I don't care what God does. We're doing what? No. Remember I said, you don't have to be against God, just neutral. And you're out from underneath the spout where the blessings come out. Goes on and says, more afflictions with personal health. Verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with emerods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. In other words, we'll have these chronic diseases and health issues and irritations. Have you noticed that there seems like there's more medications all the time for this little thing and this little thing? I didn't even know people had trouble with that. But it's enough of them that they're spending money and advertisement money. They're spending money to develop an advertisement because apparently this is a problem that a lot of people have. I don't remember hearing about all that when I was a kid. I guess I wasn't old, I guess, but... He said, we're going to have these chronic diseases. Watch this. mental issues and disorders. Look at verse 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. That means raving craziness and insanity and blindness. Now, in the context here, that kind of gives the idea of this, meaning you are unable to see things for what they really are. You can't discern reality. It's blindness. You don't really see what's really going on. And astonishment of heart. In other words, you don't see things coming, so you're taken off guard. There's consternation. You could say it this way. You just can't handle everyday life. Some people, it's almost just getting up in the morning, it's just more than they can handle. Well, God's supposed to be handling it. Why are we trying to do this on our own? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Rest in me. And yet we're trying to live life. So what you're saying is you're actually supposed to believe God is God. Yep. Bingo! God's God. I don't know. The reason our nation is where it is, first of all, we're as good as we still are because of God's mercy. But we are far away is because it's been generation after generation. And you know, we all laugh at grandma and great grandpa. You know, they actually believed in God and prayed. Yep. And they were a whole lot better off than we are. They didn't have all the toys and stuff we have. No, they had peace. And they knew, Lord, take care of them. And the next generation, we didn't pass it down. The next generation, we didn't pass it down. And now we, you know, God is just this nice little thing, this nice little warm, fuzzy feeling that we talk about. Just like Santa Claus. He said we're going to have mental issues. Mental health disorders will increase. Depression, suicide, road rage, insanity, uncontrollable outbursts, crazy people all over the place. Do you remember all this kind of stuff? The crime and the stuff that's going on these days? Did you see the thing this week where the poor guy was out there with his tow truck? He had a flatbed tow truck. And this guy comes up and blindsides him. I don't know if you saw it on. It's awful. And they just kept running and running. And they hit that poor guy upside the head. And he went over and his neck hit the side of the car. And he went down. I mean, he was out. They caught the guy. They figured out who it was. What in the world possesses somebody for doing that? You may not like the guy. You may not like what he just did. But oh my soul. Just walk up when he's not looking and blindside him and knock the poor guy out. What are we coming to? I tell you, we're coming to the curse. That's where we are. Well, the person just has some mental issues. Why do they have the mental issues? Because of the curse. Well, why do we live under the curse? Because we refuse to live under the Lord. You follow me? Almost done. You got to stop. Look at verse 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. We will be in the dark over things that should be as clear as day. They should be obvious to us, but somehow we just won't see it. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God says, I will teach you and show you what is the next step where we need to go. But if you're not going to listen to me, you're on your own. Now, he says that we will come to a point where we are blind to things that are in the noonday. Things are bright. It's noon. High noon. It's as much light in the day you can have. And it's like you still can't see what's going on. And so since we can't seem to make a wise decision and see what we're doing, we will stumble and bumble as if we're walking in the dark and unable to see what's really going on. Now, Don't get mad at me. But this is true. This is what we're seeing Mr. Biden doing. I'm sorry. You say, what kind of bumbling decisions are these? Listen, either he doesn't have a clue or he's actually evil. I'm sorry. Either he doesn't have a clue or he's actually evil. This is not politics. This is where our world is. I'm telling you, this is why we're living under the curse. Now, Donald Trump is not the second coming of Christ. He's got his problems, and wherever he messes up, we're going to have that problem too. I understand. But listen to this. I don't know whether you saw, Trump spoke to the CPAC last night, and when in a speech he said, he was talking about Afghanistan. He said, I asked the child, if you have people you need, they're going to be attacked, and you have regular people and you have your army, who do you get out first? And the little boy said, you get the people out first and you bring the army out last. And he says, and he was five. The point being, this is just common sense. I mean, it's clear as day. It's clear as the nose on your face. And some of you, this is, you know, it's pretty clear. And so it's clear as the nose on your face. Everybody knows you don't pull out the protectors and let the poor people and the women and the children, everybody be unprotected when the enemy is coming. That's like Moses saying when the Egyptians are coming, okay, men first. You know what I mean? The ship is going down. You don't say crew first. No, it's women and children first. The protectors stay around to do the best they can and hope they'll make it. That's the way it works. We don't want to stop the flow of oil from Russia. And you know why? Because we shut ours down and now we're at their mercy. That was a year ago. You say, well, that's just, you're getting power. No, this is common sense. Common sense. Either, again, I know you get mad at me because I'm into politics, but it's not politics. This is the spiritual life of our nation. Either he's really stupid or he's actually evil. You know what I'm saying? That's a problem. I got a real problem with that. If we had just left it like it was, we could just turn the valve off on Russia. Meantime, Russia is turning the valve off on the Ukraine. And by the way, why do they have stuff? Because we said, okay, build your pipeline. That's good. That's a duh moment. All the causes for inflation, all these things. He said, why is this? I don't understand. The gas prices are going up. It has nothing to do with what I did. What did he expect? Why didn't he see these things coming? I'll tell you, because his eyes are on himself and the Lord is not in all his thoughts. God can see the future and knows the ramifications of our decisions. If we consult with him, he knows the decision we should make. But he is blind and cannot see afar off. I got to stop there. Made you all mad, and we'll go ahead and finish with Mark. The whole purpose of this is for us to understand that the curse affects every part of our life. We just don't realize that. There's so many people think all the curse does is keeps me out of heaven. It keeps me away from God, which keeps me out of heaven. Now, you can have salvation and you'll be going to heaven and not have things right with the Lord so you can enjoy the trip. If you want to enjoy the trip, we got to keep our eyes on him. Now, you know, this may cause some folks to kind of question some things. But this is right here. So I've never heard this before. That's part of our problem. It's been here since it was written thousands of years ago. But we don't want to hear it because that means we got to change something. We're not done. There's a couple more. And we get to a little later part there where he starts with, but if thou returnest to the Lord, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be your basket, and blessed shall be your store. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and blessed shall thou be the fruit of your field. And you will be attacked from many sides, and you will drive them out, and none will be left. So, well, that's kind of a fairy tale. It's only a fairy tale if God's a fairy tale. If your God's a fairy tale, then I understand why you believe that. But if your God's real, then it's all true. And I'll be honest with you. Janet and I, just the other day, we were just sitting in the house there. I was doing some studying. She was doing some. She's always busy doing studying there or something. And I said, you know, God's been so good to us. I said this the other day. And I'm just gonna say it. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'll just say it again. And this is just kind of little, but you know, there are a lot of things in our life that's a really big deal to us. You know, I mean, it's a big deal to us. It's like the whole world's gonna fall apart. It was over a year ago. In fact, it was actually 2 years. The first time that Brandon and Esther told me that they want to go someplace and start a church. I did my best to talk him out of it. Be honest with you. And we chatted and we talked. He said, no, and they came back about a little over a year ago. And he says, probably in a year, in January, we're gonna go. And I said, well, you know, you do what you need to do. And I was dreading the day. I'm going to lose a good assistant pastor. To be honest with you, he does a lot of little things that I don't even have to worry about. He just does them. And, of course, Esther, daggone it, we raised her and paid her to go to college, be a piano player, to work at this church. And then she hauls off and goes to Vermont. And great, you know. And besides 4 grandkids, you know, grandkids are the best. They're blessed. They're a double blessing when they come and when they go. They go. They don't sleep there, you know. They go. Go home and, you know, you spoil them, give them ice cream and sugar, and you send them home to mom and dad. It's just a wonderful thing. And I thought, honest to goodness, I'm a pastor. I want things to run well for you all. I was just dreading. I knew God was going to take care of us, but you know, it's the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? And about 6-8 months before all that happened, maybe a year, the first time I met the Tuckies, and they showed up back here, and I said, you need to go here. Now, I didn't know that she played. I did not know. And then after she came, and then they went someplace else. Well, I guess we lost her. Lost them both, the whole family, you know, good family, Ryan and Katie, both of them. And then they came back, and then we got talking, and I could see they were real involved, real, you know, interested at that point. And then she talked about playing. I thought, playing? You play? Well, my mom taught me to play. And then she said, she talked about the organ. She said, I'd get a hold of that organ. And we hadn't had anybody to play organ for a while because Miss Margaret couldn't see the page. But she was faithful for years and years. But there it sat there. And I thought, boy, that'd be pretty cool. So Esther came in. We had an organ player. And then I thought, well, when Esther leaves, there goes the organ. But then, of course, I had her play for me, and she could play everything Esther could play. I thought, isn't that something? But I said, we're going to lose the organ. Now, I didn't know when the Huggers decided to join the church that Emily could play. And then, so she came in, and she said, well, I could probably take care of the organ. And you heard her play. Does a great job. Never missed a beat. Kept marching on. And then we had Brother Tim come in and take care of all of Brandon's duties. And besides that, on top of that, the whole rest of them in the deal. You know, so now I've got another team of folks I can have do special music or watch kids or work in our school or whatever, you know, and they're just there, you know. And God had, and here I was worried. And be honest with you, I love my daughter, I love Brandon, but, you know, God knew. Those folks had nothing. So he sent them up there. He took that little shovel full of dirt and took them and planted them in Vermont. And then God actually, bless his heart, he gave a whole lot of shovelfuls of dirt. You know, we filled a great big hole. Now, that's just one of hundreds of times the Lord has taken care of the problem that I was worried about. My job wouldn't say, well, this is it. I'm done. Everybody keeps leaving me. I'm not telling you I haven't thought about it. I feel like I've spent my entire life trying to train a piano player. I didn't even have to train these. I mean, I gotta tell her how the crazy way I like to do things from time to time. But picks right up. You pick it right, no problem. I'm sorry. I know it's time to go. I'm just saying, do it God's way. It's amazing how He'll take care of it.